I have some help today. I'll tell you more about that as we go along. But pray with me. Father, we stop at this moment and commit ourselves to your word and pray that you open our minds and our hearts and reveal yourself to us. Father, let the words that are spoken be yours and give us ears to hear. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. There's not assigned seats. Y'all know Jody. Marion's been here before. These are two of my prayer partners. And the significance of these chairs are that we have spent thousands of hours in chairs like this around the campfire on Marion's farm praying over the last 20 plus years. And so when it came time, when I looked at this message, I said I want to bring two people who have done it a lot. They'll tell you they're not experts, but we've just done it a lot. You know, sooner or later, if you do something long enough, you either get used to it or master it. We haven't mastered it, but prayer to me is the key to getting closer to God when you do it right, with the right focus. And so I asked these guys to come help us, and we're just going to have a conversation about some aspects of prayer and how we make prayer more of what God wants it to be and less of what we want it to be. And I want to start with 1 Thessalonians 5:17. This is one of those verses that's like Jesus wept, that everybody's memorized it, because you can. But it says, pray without ceasing. Your Bible may say, pray continuously, pray without stopping, or whatever. But I want to know, from just our aspect, what does that mean, guys? How do we pray without ceasing and live our life?
I think one of the keys for me, and I'm just going to speak personally, I don't know that this is for everybody, but I think it could be, is that first off, I have to be ready to pray, and that has to be my instinct. It's almost like if somebody were to throw a ball at my face, my instinct is to duck, right? In every circumstance that I react to, where there's a response or a reaction, I need to be ready almost instinctively to pray.
Which I get that. Because I think one of the things, and I think this song brought it out to me really well that we just played, was we're so used to going to God when we need something. You know what I mean? You pick up the phone and you call God, I need your help with this. Which is not where we should start.
Right. Yeah. You're looking at me. I see it as a conversation with God, period. I see it, you know, early on I would have seen it as a command. But now I see it almost as a cry from God that says, talk to me. I want to have a relationship with you. Talk to me. And if you think about it, what is prayer? And so often we put it in a box that prayer is a time we set aside, we sit down with God and we pray, we say amen and we're finished. But to me, as I've grown, that's not what prayer is. I mean, think about it, with your spouse or whoever, do you have a set time where you sit down and you do all the talking for 2 or 3 minutes and then you say amen and then you don't talk to them again for the rest of the day? The answer is no. I mean, there are times I get up, I talk to my wife, we pray together, I leave. And there are times during the day I'll think about something, and I'll think, I've got to call her right now and tell her, because if I don't, I've reached the age, I don't know where it goes, but it goes somewhere, and it doesn't return, you know, until she goes, why didn't you tell me? And then I'm like, but it's an ongoing conversation, I think, throughout the day that, and it can be a varied conversation too, you know, where we think of it as, it tells us right before it to rejoice always. And sometimes prayer is not just about rejoicing.
Right.
I mean, if you look at David, David prayed before that God would destroy his enemy and destroy his children and destroy every heir that he ever had and erase his name from the face of the earth. Now, do you have people you feel like about that? Bible says pray about it, just like David did. I mean, can you do that?
Why, absolutely. I think one of the things is, and you talk about an ongoing conversation. I have this, I've reached this place. I talk to my mother every single day. And we're so at the point in conversation that we rather say, we rarely say hello and we rarely say goodbye. We just have a conversation. If she hangs up on me, something came up, you know, and she's got to deal with it. Somebody walks in, she'll just hang up on me. That's the place I got to get with God, where, because I know she's always there. I'll just call her. And that's where God is. He's always, the Bible says the Holy Spirit's living within us. So he's with us no matter what. So this idea that I got to show up with my church voice when I'm talking to God, I love it when people who aren't used to praying try to pray in church. Because they have a church voice. Y'all know what that is? Mm-hmm. Y'all have heard it. You can recognize it.
Yes, I do, Chad. I know that voice.
Yeah. That's not where God wants us. So we're supposed to be in a mindset of prayer. And then Philippians 4:6 says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and thank Him for all He's done. Pray about everything. Am I supposed to pray about everything?
That's kind of what it says, James. I don't know where you went to school, but everything pretty much means everything. And that's what God wants from us, as Marion was saying, when we're having a conversation with God that's continuing. There might be pauses in between when we're distracted or doing something else. But, you know, well, does God want to know what I'm having for lunch? Well, I should talk to God about what I'm having for lunch, you know. There's nothing too small, nothing too trivial that He doesn't want to hear from His children about it and have the opportunity to guide us on those things. So we think, well, I don't need to be guided in what I watch on television. Well, yeah, you do. I don't need to be guided with about who I hang out with or how I spend my free time. Yeah, you do. If you're a Christian, you should be asking God about those things. Everything also includes all those other things that we would think of, the troubles and the worries and all that stuff. But it also includes the mundane.
Do you believe in divine appointments?
Absolutely.
So when I leave here today and go to lunch, is that something I should pray about?
Marion, I do, and we often do that. I wish I could say I always do, but I'm just like everybody else. I get distracted, but we just came back from the Kentucky floods, and every day we prayed, God, give us those appointments. We know where we're going on the roster and the map, but we don't know who we're going to encounter, and we were purposeful about it during that time, and we had some absolutely divine appointments that there's no explanation why it should have happened. But I should have that attitude all the time, that when we go to lunch today, God, there's somebody there that you want me to engage with, pray for, share the gospel with.
It's not that I need help picking out which restaurant to go to or what I want. It is the idea that God has a plan for you today in terms of the people that He wants you to impact. And I've said this so many times. If you are still here breathing on this earth, the only reason is because God has people He wants you to impact. And if you want to know who those are on a daily basis, the best way to find out is ask Him. I mean, we've all had those encounters where, how on earth is it possible that I met you here at this moment in time of somebody I haven't seen in forever? And it's the divine encounters. So, I think in terms of thinking about prayer and thinking about what God wants from us in prayer, I think we also need to really understand what prayer shouldn't be and how we can misuse prayer. And I think probably one, in terms of this, one of the most misused Bible verses on the planet is Mark 12:24. And if you're a televangelist, you've used this verse. I tell you, Mark 11:24, I tell you, you can pray about anything, and if you believe that you'll receive it, it's yours.
I agree, Chad. That's a misused verse. And I learned something from our experience with COVID through my wife's tremendous prayer life. Now, she had to come to a point where she was praying, of course, for me to be restored or for me to not lose my life. But she came to a point where she had to say these magic words, and I use the word term magic loosely, thy will be done. We've all prayed for things like, Lord, I would really like to have that job, but thy will be done. Well, if I didn't get the job, okay, I'll get another job. But for her, she had to come to a point where she said, I really want him to live, but God, thy will be done. And I'll be okay with that. I'll be sad, but I'll be okay with it. And that just cascades into everything I pray for, where I say, God, I would really like to do this, or I would like to have that. But God, if that's not right for me, protect me from myself. Thy will be done. And I think if we pray in that vein, that yes, I want it, and God wants to hear my desires, and sometimes He'll give it to me, but if it's good for me, He'll not give it to me.
But does this mean I can pray for a Ferrari and get it?
You can pray for a Ferrari and probably not get it.
But it says, if I ask for it and believe, I'm going to receive it.
True. And I think there's people that walked away from the church and gotten frustrated because of this verse too. It's just the opposite kind of what you were saying. But what they miss is the picture where Jesus in John 10 says, I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd's in charge of the flock. And Jesus called us sheep for a reason. I think He created sheep for a reason, and it was to paint a picture of who we are. And one thing I can tell you, you'll never go to a circus and see a sheep act. They're just not real bright. And they don't know what they need, and they don't know what they want. And it's the shepherd's job to protect us. And I know there's things in my life that I've prayed for before and didn't get. And as I got older, I realized why I didn't get them.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't be good for me. And I've often heard that praying isn't necessarily to get God to do what you want, but the process of prayer gets you in line with what God wants for you, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And, for instance, one of the things I used to think I really wanted was a lake house in the hill country. It never happened. Well, I realize now if I had a lake house in the hill country, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I'd be sitting in a lake house in the hill country, you know. And that wouldn't be good for me. It wouldn't be what I needed. It wouldn't be where I needed to go. So, yes, like any good dad, I want the best for my kids. But if a six-year-old comes to me and says, Dad, I really want a 40 caliber Glock pistol, he's not going to get it because it's not good for him.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it's hard for us to grasp because I think especially when you're a young Christian, the first place you fall to in your prayer life is what I call Santa Claus prayers, where you make a list of all the things you want God to do for you, and you start praying like that. And a lot of people have never gotten past that, and they walk away from the church because they don't get what they wanted on their list.
Well, what's the trap of the televangelist? If you pray for a healing and you don't get your healing, it's because your faith wasn't good enough. Your faith wasn't strong enough. It has nothing to do with God's plan. I mean, how many stories do we hear about of people that have prayed for their spouse for years before it finally happens?
Yeah.
You know, all in God's timing. But that's the trap, I think, for a lot of young Christians is that, well, I prayed and I asked for my Ferrari and I didn't get it, so my faith isn't good enough. Well, it has nothing to do with your faith.
Right.
It's your intention.
Which is, I think, one of the things that we all as Christians have to come to a place of, and it, Jody, you talked about Tricia getting to this place, where you pray for something earnestly, you pray for somebody's healing and it doesn't come, or you pray for somebody's salvation and you don't ever see it, and you think this has something to do with me. Either I'm not good enough, or like the televangelist will tell you, then you've got sin in your life. And that doesn't have anything to do with where God wants us to be in terms of our prayer life and the things that we ask for and knowing that we should pray about everything and be able to accept what God gives us because He knows what's best for us.
I think you bring up a good point. Where does God want us to be? Where does God want us to be? And one of the things that comes to mind for me is He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And He talks about, unless we come unto Him like little children. And I think we miss the point of that so often because we think about, I've got to come in ignorance. But that's not what it says, I don't believe. I think what He was talking about is, who does a child look to for guidance? Who does a child look to for breakfast, lunch, supper? Who does a child look to for a roof over their head? Who does a child look to for anything? And it's the father, the parents, and so forth. And quite often when we come in prayer, it's like, Lord, I have this problem with Chad, and here's how you need to solve it. And then we proceed to tell Him what He needs to do in our life. And I think God just sits there and twiddles His thumbs for a minute and says, well, He's not ready yet. And so we come again and we say, Lord, I've got this problem with Chad, and maybe you ought to do it this way. And not yet. Until we finally get to the point to where we say, I've got this issue. How do you want to handle it? And then He moves. And then He moves.
I think if you've been a Christian long enough and you pray enough, you'll get to a place where you go, golly, I can't believe I used to pray like that, or pray for this, or ask for that. And God wants us at a place where we're not telling Him what we want. We're asking Him, what does He want? And to reshape us in terms of our mind to get to the place where I'm asking for what God wants to give me.
There's no deal that says it's not the sheep's job to define the shepherd.
Say that again.
It's not the sheep's job to define the shepherd. Because what we tend to do is try to define God in our terms.
Yeah.
Versus realizing that we'll never be able to define him this side of heaven and know what he truly wants till we ask him what he wants.
Don't you think that we have limited God by doing that at times in terms of God wanted to do this much, but you only got this much because that's all you asked for?
Right.
Yeah, that's the other side of the coin, is when you pray for everything, you're praying amiss because you do exactly what you said. God had this big thing in mind for you, but you prayed this away, and sometimes God says, okay, try it your way. And you realize it didn't really turn out as well as I hoped because you didn't pray, like Marion said, God, you show me what you want me to do. Let me get in line with your plan. You solve this problem. You're the solver. I'm just maybe your implement. So, you know, show me which way to go. As opposed to doing it what I think is best without asking him. And most of the time that goes wrong.
You mentioned a Ferrari. You know you can't carry much in a Ferrari.
Can't carry much at all.
Should have been praying for a pickup.
Anybody ever prayed for something and got it and then decided you didn't want it?
I got a boat for sale right now.
Here's another thought for us. John, 1 John 5:14 said, "And we are confident that he hears whatever we ask for, anything whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. We are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him." I think one of the things that we can struggle with, and Satan wants you to struggle with this, is that whether or not God hears you.
My biggest struggle at one point in time, and I didn't even realize it. And I think in a church this size, you probably got a lot of people here that struggle with it and don't even realize it. I think we all see ourselves as part of the flock, a big flock, and we're just one of the sheep in the middle of the flock, and we define the shepherd on our own terms. But we did a training union 4-week study where we used to go to church, and it was on journaling. And one of the things they taught us was, if you will journal over a period of time, you can go back and read that, and you can see what you're thinking. I use the word subconsciously. And after the first week, I realized, going back, sitting there reading through that, I thought, you know, I don't believe God hears my prayers.
Yeah.
And he answered that in a very big way, where he absolutely hears our prayer. I believe in my heart of hearts, without a doubt, that God can have a conversation with us simultaneously, each and every one of us on a different subject at the same time. The first verse you read, "Pray without ceasing," speaks volumes to me. Because sometimes it helps me when I'm studying scripture, like to teach a class or something, to think about what it doesn't say. And what that doesn't say is, wait your turn, have a seat, take a number. You won't pray and get a recording that says, due to high prayer volume, we're experiencing longer wait times than normal. So please visit our website, www.gov.org, you know, for faster response. You won't hear that. You won't hear that,
yeah.
Which tells me that absolutely he not only hears us, but he wants to talk to us. You used to use an example about crawling up in God's lap. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. We used to talk about this at the prayer fire. That when I think about praying earnestly to God, I think about the contrast between a servant who goes to the king's door, you know, and he pounds on the door and the guard lets him in and he gets on his belly and crawls to the king and, please don't kill me, but I got something to say. I think of it as a toddler almost going to the door, and I throw the door open to the king's throne room, and I go running up there and I crawl up in his lap, and he throws his arms around me and he says, "Child, what's on your heart today?" And I say, "Daddy, here's what's on my heart today." He already knows, but like has been said, he wants to hear it. He wants us to acknowledge it. And so if I think of prayer that way, I can be as fervently in despair, or I can be exceedingly glad, and he can handle all of that. Imagine your own children when they come to you. If they're sad, you bring them in your lap and you talk to them. When they're happy, you bring them in your lap and you talk to them. I think about that way with the Lord. And no matter how serious the subject, I try to become a little child and just, here's what's going on with me, Father. Tell me, what am I to do about this?
I got a picture of that one time. Our oldest two girls, our two girls, are 15 months apart. Michael, our son, came along 3 years later. But when the girls were small, 3, 4 years old, 5 years old, I remember coming in. Vicki used to, during the heat of the day, put on a movie for them and, you know, let them wind down for a little while. And I can't been outside working, and I came in, and they didn't know I was there, and they were watching a movie. And I sat down on the couch behind them, and I was just sitting there kind of looking at them going, wow. And while I'm sitting there, one of them kind of turns around and saw me and got up and came and crawled up in my lap and sat there and talked to me for just a brief minute. And then she kind of slid off and went back and sat down and went back to what she was doing. And God just kind of told me right then, that's a picture of prayer. That's a picture of prayer. And it pleases him. Yeah, I mean, I still remember that to this day. That was 30 years ago. And but it's us taking time out of our busy day, like you said, coming and crawling up in his lap and saying, hey, here's where I'm at. What's going on? Having that little conversation. I love you. Slide down and go back to our business.
We have to get to the place, if we're not already there, where you truly understand that God is waiting to hear from you. He is sitting there waiting at every moment to hear what you have to say. That's amazing.
Well, you read Colossians 1, where it talks about He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, and by Him all things were created, whether in heaven or earth. And it goes on to say, through Him all things are held together. In other words, He's holding the earth in orbit, the moon in place, everything. But yet He's waiting.
He's waiting.
And you
waiting
have that resource at your disposal where you can say something as simple, where you may go to lunch today.
Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20 says, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there with them. What does that mean? Does it matter?
It does matter because I immediately go to the last phrase that you read in that passage there. He says, I am there among them. That means when you pray, he specifically says when two or more are gathered, like this morning, or when we're at the prayer fire, or just two of us at a hospital bed. This is a promise of Christ that He is there as our intercessor, as our only mediator to God. And how can you pray out of His will when He's standing right there? It's almost like, okay, I'm going to be influenced and filtered by the Creator, by the Savior. And so when I'm praying, even if two of us are together, one of us is going to go, no, wait a minute, we're praying wrong. Jesus is here, and I don't think He is in on this deal. So if you think of it that way, that Jesus is right there, and as we pray, He's interceding for us with the Father. And, you know, Romans talks about we don't even know how to pray, and so the Holy Spirit's there too, groaning for us. And in ways that we cannot even express. So I go to the last verse, the last passage, to think, when I pray, even if it's just me or with someone else, Jesus is right there.
And he wants us praying together. Because one of the things that happens with when you're with somebody is that you're less focused on yourself. You hear that? You're less focused on yourself when you're with, especially praying. And I think we can all speak to this. We have seen God do amazing things through us praying together. And we've had our prayer life and our spiritual life impacted in ways that we will carry to our grave over us praying together. And it's not anything special about the three of us. It's special about the God we were praying to and with. I can say, until I started praying with these guys, and that's a long time ago, the thought of praying for an hour was like, that's impossible. But we have literally been in times where we prayed for 4 hours straight and get through and go, holy cow, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
And that was after an hour of just fellowship and chit-chat. Then we got down to business.
Yeah. And it's not anything about us. It's about a God who you get in fellowship with. And have you ever had a friend, and I bet you have, that when you get together, time just flies. And you go, oh my gosh, we've been talking for 3 hours. That's what we've experienced. That's what God wants for all of us to experience. And go ahead.
Well, you mentioned us going on for a long time and just praying. Every time we prayed together, and I'm finding this in my own experience, that the prayer ends at a natural point. We never said, well, it's 12 o'clock, we've got to stop. We never did that. When you pray earnestly to God, just sincerely from your heart, you'll know when you're done. You'll just kind of go, okay, I've expressed everything I wanted to express to my Father. I've given Him a chance to impress me with His response. Or He said, not now, I'll talk to you later. But it just sort of ends naturally. So you don't put a clock on it. There's nothing wrong with saying, well, I got a minute, I'm going to pray for a minute before I have to go into the doctor. Nothing wrong with that. But when you sit down to pray, you just say, Lord, I'm going to spend as much time with you as needed to get this off my chest or off my heart and to hear from you.
This may be a little out in left field, but that's okay. You said you wanted something Spirit-led.
Go for it.
You know, the natural progression of a human being is to go through periods of belief and doubt. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And in a few chapters, you see him sending messengers to Jesus going, are you really the one? I mean, that's human nature, I think. But when I hear a verse like what you just read, where Jesus says, look, this is a promise I'm making to you. I'm telling you that if two of you get together, I'm there. You know, I've got to ask myself a question sometime. And I think everybody at some point in time, maybe often in time, needs to really have a heart-to-heart with yourself where you say, is God real? I mean, is it all right to ask God if He's real?
Absolutely.
I think the harder the question, the more He likes to answer it.
Yeah.
So I think it's all right to sit down and say, God, are you real? Are you really, really real? Or am I in a cult? And are you? And ask those questions. If I believe He's real, do I really believe that Scripture is His Word, that Jesus is His Son? And if the answer becomes yes to all those questions, then it ought to affect my life and how I live and what I believe. And if I get to a yes at the end of all those questions, and then there's scriptures like Malachi where it says, test me in this, when it concerns the tithe. When he says, if you'll get two people together, I'll be there, guaranteed.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you do that? You know, I mean, it's...
it's like free money.
You know? Maybe you don't feel like God hears your prayer. Well, he tells you, get somebody else and pray with them, and he'll guarantee you he'll hear your prayer.
Yeah.
You know? So my only response is, be careful what you pray for.
Yeah.
Well, I had another thought, kind of along that line, about when two or more together. One of the hardest things for me in the early days of my walk with the Lord was to bring up the idea with someone, can I pray for you or pray with you? Because I had always been kind of a loner, you know, I can do it all, I don't need anybody's help. But we all need to get over ourselves in a way and say, look, I need somebody to pray with. It may be a longtime friend, it may be somebody I've just met in church this morning, or it may be a family member who lives nearby. We need to get over ourselves and say, this is what God wants. He wants us to join together in prayer. I mean, imagine if I really can't imagine if I'd have said, you know, I know you guys are wanting to get together and pray around the campfire, and you want to do this, you know, kind of as a regular thing. You know, I don't know if I want to do that or not. I cannot imagine missing that opportunity. And I think we do.
We had some people tell us that.
We did. And it's their loss. But for us and for you, I think it's important to find somebody to pray with. I hope it's your spouse, but it doesn't exclusively have to be your spouse. It can be a coworker or some other acquaintance. But, you know, you have to do it the first time. And after the first time, you'll go, wow, let's do that again. How about next week at Starbucks or whatever?
You're reading my script because, no, you're good. Because here's what I want to challenge you with. If you walk out of here with anything today, it's the thought that if you are asking yourself, what is the next step for me growing in my prayer life? I'm going to challenge you to find somebody to pray with, because it's going to grow your prayer life. It will grow your individual prayer life. And it will grow you closer to God, because there's a promise that says He's there. So if you don't have somebody, I want to challenge you, find somebody to pray with, because it'll change you. And it will help you in the times where you go, my prayers are not get any further than that ceiling. And we've all been there, and we've all had those moments where you ask, is God real? And God's okay with that question. He already knows you thought it. I mean, you might as well go ahead and ask. So I challenge you to find somebody to pray with if you want to grow your prayer life. And to be focused on the fact that our prayer life is about getting closer to God, not about getting God to do what you want Him to do. Any closing thoughts?
He wants to talk to you.
He wants to talk to you. An incident happened, like y'all did when your kids were small, that Grant was probably maybe 2 or 3 years old. And I was at work, and I was in a meeting with everybody at work. And they talked about this for decades after this happened, that we were in a meeting and Grant came busting in and paid no attention to what was going on, but came straight to me and had something he wanted to tell me. And it did not bother me in the least nor did it bother anybody in the room. In fact, they talked about the fact that I stopped what I was doing because my son walked in. That's how God feels about you. There is nothing. He is holding this universe together, and yet He's going to stop to talk to you. Let that sink in. Our invitation today is simply a prayer, because there's no better way to close a service on prayer than by praying. Will you close us, Mary?
Yeah, absolutely. Father, we just thank You that Jesus came and died for our sins, that we might have fellowship with You. And Father, we know that You raised Him on the third day, which means You're going to raise us too. And we glory in that, and we look forward to seeing You face to face. But until then, Father, we pray that You find us faithful. And Father, we look to You as a Father. We look to You for everything we need, for every protection that You offer, and for everything going forward. And I pray for those here today, Father, that You'll just protect them this week from forces that would do them harm, whether spiritual or physical, that You'd bless the work of their hands, that You would touch their hearts, Father, and let them know that You were there. And that we just thank You for Your Holy Spirit who leads us and teaches us. And we just can't wait to talk to You, Father. Can't wait to see You. And Father, we thank You for this church. We thank You for this gathering of people, this family. And we just ask that You tie their hearts together and bring them as a unity to You, Father. And it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank You, guys.
Thank you.
And thank you.